Now, I want you to think about that. A lot of times we try to hide our hurt or our pain or our shame into some compartments in our heart and say, God, this is for me. But God wants to know you. He already knows what's hidden in that compartment. He knows before you even share it. And so what freedom is there to say, God, I'm giving you my heart. There's nothing I can hide from you. And so here it is. Hey, you know, we're on our second week of this series called Now Showing. And, you know, so many people build their faith based on things that they see. I know a lot of people who think God is like the Force. That's why I had Yoda talk about that, right? He's in the tree. He's in the rock. He's all around. He binds me. God's not like the Force, okay? If you think God's like the Force, that's called panentheism. That's a whole nother sermon. That's, you know, anyways, it's heresy. That's not what God is, okay? But we're doing this idea now showing because of this verse right here, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen and are still showing today. We just have to look out at the mountains and the sunset and the stars at night and you see, man. Psalm 19 says that the skies pour forth speech, but they use no words because they speak of the glory of God. And so this whole series, we're talking about who God is. And it goes on to say, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. We don't have an excuse for us to say, I don't know what God is like. And when you say, I think God is like this, I'm going to say this in the gentlest way possible. I don't care what you think. It's what this says. Who is God really like? And so we're diving into these characteristics, to God's nature. Who is God really like? But it's not just academic theology. It's then, how does that impact my faith today? And so a little review, okay? Last week, Pastor Zach was in Guatemala, and as you heard, he got back at 1 a.m. And I said, Zach, you focus on being on a mission field and don't come back and preach the next day. So I'm sorry, it's my fault that you had to listen to me 2 weeks in a row. He is here, by the way. Hey, recline back, take a nap. Okay, you know all this stuff. All right, where was I? Last week, we talked about two things. God is immutable, he never changes, and God is eternal, he has always been, and how that impacts our faith. Today, we're going to kind of talk how God's not like the Force, but how he is everything, okay? And we're going to look at what we call the omnis, okay? So the first attribute we're going to look at this morning is that God is omniscient. God is omniscient. God knows everything. And just so you know, it's not omniscience. It's omniscient is how you pronounce it. Okay, here's the definition. God possesses perfect, complete knowledge of all things, past, present, future. How's that possible? Because he's eternal. You'll see how these work together, okay? Past, present, future, actual, and possible. God knows all things. Now, look what it says in Psalm 139, okay? I'm not just making this up. Scripture actually backs this up. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. God knows all things. Now, just like last week, you could say, great, Pastor Matt, that's awesome, but how does that impact my faith? Well, because God is omniscient, we should submit your heart to him. We should submit our hearts to him because God is omniscient. Now, I'm going to share some scary verses that you're not going to like, but there's good news at the end of them, okay? That's what the Bible, sometimes you read it like, man, that's scary. there's always good news afterwards. Psalm 44:21. For he knows the secrets of your heart. Ouch. How many of you have kids going back to school this week? Raise your hands. How many of you have one more week left before your kids before they go back to school? All right, yeah, okay. School's coming, so back to school shopping, y'all. All right? I feel like the list gets longer and more expensive every single year. But you got to get your backpacks ready, right? Now, all these cool backpacks nowadays, when I was a kid, it was JanSport. You had the front pack and the big pack. That's it, two pockets. Now there's like, you know, all the different compartments. You know, put your pencils in, all sort of stuff. I want you to imagine this backpack's like your heart. You know, a lot of times we like to keep things in one of the little compartments that no one has access to. And we think, God, that compartment right here in my heart, that's for me. That's not for you. God knows the secrets of your heart. There are no little hidden compartments that you get to put part of your life in. You can't just hide part of your heart away from the Lord. He sees it all. Now, that could be frightening, or it could be encouraging. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking to us. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what? In secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Now, I want you to think about that. A lot of times we try to hide our hurt or our pain or our shame into some compartments in our heart and say, God, this is for me. But God wants to know you. He already knows what's hidden in that compartment. He knows before you even share it. And so what freedom is there to say, God, I'm giving you my heart. There's nothing I can hide from you. And so here it is. Now, maybe the scariest verse in the Bible is this one right here, Hebrews 4:13. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom he must give an account. Now, leave that verse up there for a while. I'm trying to be on a health journey. The mirror does not think so. And I have lots of mirrors in my bathroom for some reason. There's the mirror here, and then we have a hallway with two closets that have mirror doors on both sides, so it's like an endless version because it just keeps reflecting back and forth. No creature is hidden from God's sight, but we're laid naked before him. Man, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have minded that, but right now, some of you can relate. Those of you that are young, gravity takes effect. Wait till there's a four in the front of your age. But here's the scary part. To whom we must give an account. We're going to stand before the throne of God one day, and we're going to have to give an account. And for those who don't know Jesus, that is a frightening thing. But for us that do know Jesus, here's the good news of that verse. If you just read that verse alone, you'd be like, oh, man. But context is everything. Verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, I want you to think about that. The high priest's role in the Old Testament was to be the mediator between God and the people. The high priest represented the people to God and represented God to the people. Jesus has become our high priest, right? Because what he's done on the cross, he's now granted us access to God. And he knows all of the temptation and the sin that we've gone through, and he was successful. He didn't fall to it. So what? God's able to sympathize with our weakness. God knows the hurt and the pain and the stuff that we're hiding in our heart. And so then the last verse gives us such good news. So then let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So yes, everything is laid bare before him. Yes, we're going to have to give an account one day. But because of Jesus, that account is clean. And we get to go before the throne of grace with confidence. And so since God is omniscient, let's stop putting things in different compartments of our heart and just give the whole thing to him. Now, I know a lot of people who have doubts, but how do I know if I'm really saved? How do I know my heart is truly his? Look at what 1 John chapter 3 says. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, which our heart can do, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. So many people struggle. I don't know if I'm really saved. Oh, I just sinned. I don't know if God's going to accept me. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant that it is finished. Your past, your present, and your future sin is finished. Now, do we continue to sin because of that? By no means. But when we do fall, our position with God has not changed. Because he sealed that victory over sin when he rose from the dead. And so when your heart starts to deceive you and your heart starts to say you're not good enough, God doesn't want you, you're not part of his family, God is greater than your heart and he knows everything. So since God is omniscient, we should submit our hearts fully to him. Okay? 2. God is omnipresent. Okay? Omnipresent means that God is present everywhere. God is fully present everywhere. There is no place in creation where God is absent. Now, the 4 says God is in the rock. We don't say God's in the rock. We say God is everywhere. He's not in the rock. He created the rock, right? And so God is everywhere. Look what it says in Psalm 139. The next 7 verses from the psalm the one I shared about God is omniscient, and then it goes to omnipresent right after that. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. You cannot hide from the presence of God. Just like you can't hide things in your heart, you can't hide from his presence anywhere. So how does that inform my faith? Because God is omnipresent, we should submit our fear to him. Because God is omnipresent, we should submit our fear to him. You know, as you read scripture, and I think we hammer this pretty hard as a church, you should be reading your Bible. I loved it. Last week, after I talked about this, someone after church came to me and said, Pastor Matt, what's a really good study Bible I want? Because I read it, and I have trouble understanding it, but the notes at the bottom help me. Love that question. So helped her walk through what type of study Bible she should get so she can understand the story of God. And the more we read this, we start to see this is one complete story. As it connects all the way from front to back, that teaches us the character and nature of God. And so as you read the Old Testament, remember I talked about this, God's the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. It's not two separate gods. We get to see who God is for God's people and in turn who he is for us. And so as you remember, the Israelites, God's people, they were slaves in Egypt, right? And God set them free and he promised them, hey, you have this new land. And at the end of Moses' life, the nation of Israel is at the Jordan River, ready to go take the land, and they're starting to get nervous. And look at the encouragement that God gives Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. They were worried about the giants in the land. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. His presence was with them. If I can't hide from God's presence, what do I have to fear? He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, repeated it, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, I know none of us are putting on our battle gear and are ready to go conquer a new nation, okay? I'm not telling you to sharpen your swords and make sure your shields are ready. We're not going into battle. But I want you to think about this every day. When you get dressed and you go into work, the Lord is with you there. When you are entering into hard conversations with your spouse, the Lord is with you. When you're facing a difficult situation, the Lord is with you. When you're all alone, the Lord is with you. The Lord is always with you. So why should I fear? And like a good student, in the very next book, Joshua chapter 1. So Moses commanded Joshua. Moses is now gone. Joshua is now in charge. And look what Joshua says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our fear sometimes is crippling. And we allow it to prevent us from doing the things that God has called us to do. For many years, my wife and I, we led the young adults group here at Fusion Christian Church. Lance and Lauren lead it now. They're doing an awesome job with their young adults. Any young adults in here? I saw some of you out there. You're young. You're supposed to be like, woo, yeah, that's us. Okay. We're the old people. Anyways, we would have people come. And when we do small groups here at Fusion Christian Church, we always like to share a win to recognize that God is doing something good, right? My wife and I were so blown away by how many young adults who said, my win is that I showed up to this group because I have social anxiety. I can't be around other people, right? That's a real fear that people have. Now, I want you to back up. If God is with me, what do I have to fear? I know that's easier said than done. But when we submit our hearts to him, then we can fully submit our fear to him. And we can go do the things that God has called us to do because I know that God is with me. The greatest psalm that was ever written, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. When you're going through the hardest times in life, when it feels like you're in the darkest valley that's the shadow of death, there is no light that you can see. Remember Psalm 139, even darkness isn't dark to you because he is with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so we can live a victorious life by submitting our fear to him because God is omnipresent. Now, I know those Old Testament verses talking about going into battle, right? But one of the core tenets of who we are at Fusion Christian Church, love God, love others, and tell everyone. It could be a fearful thing to share your faith, to invite someone to church, to tell them about the gospel, Let me remind you what the Great Commission says. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them all. So Jesus has died. He rose from the dead. He's got his disciples, and he's giving them one last mission. And that mission he gave to the disciples is the same mission he's given to us. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," which we're doing next week at the beach, "in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That's what our team just got done doing in Guatemala, by the way. You're going to hear more about that next week. But watch this. "And behold, I am always, and I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us as we are living out the command that God has given us to tell everyone. We're not doing it alone. Do you know how many people I've saved in 20 years as being a pastor? Zero. I didn't die on the cross for their sins. I'm not good enough to pay for their sins. I don't want to pay for their sins. You know how many people Jesus has saved? Billions. And so when you have the opportunity to share your faith, maybe just to invite to the theater, the most comfortable chairs someone will ever hear a sermon in their life, and you get to see the pastor's ugly mug on the TV. You didn't use the thinning lens this week. Sorry. God's with you. He's always with you. God knows everything. God's always with you. And the last omni, God's omnipotence, means that God is all-powerful. God possesses unlimited power. I was going to say something about He-Man and the power. God has the power and is able to accomplish everything consistent with his nature and will. Now, that's important because sometimes you hear these illogical questions. Can God create a rock so heavy he can't lift it? Because it's a logical contradiction, right? If he can't create a rock he can't lift, then he's not all powerful. And if he can't lift it, he's not all powerful. And so people try to use that as a trap. It's illogical. It's consistent with his nature, right? God is all powerful. Nothing's impossible for him. Now, look at what it says in Jeremiah 32, 17. What does Scripture say about this? Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. That's his omnipotence. So what does this matter for my faith? Because God is omnipotent, submit your weaknesses to him. Submit your weaknesses to him. You know, like I said, I've been on this kind of like health journey, and I finally got back in the gym. And there's this joke going around that if you can't lift 225 pounds, then you're not a real man. And my shoulder's been kind of bum, and this week I was like, I got to get my man card back, and I threw 225 on there. And I screamed at the gym, "I have the power!" And I did one rep by myself, no help. So I got my man card back. But you know, a lot of times we try to say, "I'm strong enough to do it myself." I think a lot of us think that. "God, I don't need your help with this. I can do this myself." That's selfish. But when I learn to submit my weaknesses to the Lord, man, I'm able to do so much more. Look what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, this is God speaking to Paul, "My grace is sufficient. It's enough for you. For my power," God's unlimited power, "is made perfect," where? "In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Why? For when I am weak, then I'm strong. You see, once we acknowledge our weaknesses and that there's nothing that we can do about it, and we finally submit those to God, God's perfect power starts to show up. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to live through the hard stuff to be humbled, to find out it's true. The context of that passage that we were just reading, the Apostle Paul talked about how he had a thorn in his flesh, and he pleaded with God three times that this thorn would be taken away. And God's response was, I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, before, when I was in college, I based everything on my physical strength. I felt like I could do anything I wanted to do physically. And you guys know my story. 3 months into getting married, I got type 1 diabetes. And all the stuff I used to be able to do on my own strength was immediately taken away. And man, did that humble me. And it was this verse that God brought me to. I'm not taking away that thorn because my grace is sufficient for you, Matt. You don't need to do it all on your own. I want you to think about that with you. What's the weakness that you feel is holding you back? And give it over to God because his grace is sufficient for you. Look what Isaiah 40 says. It's a verse I guarantee all of us have heard in this sanctuary at least one time, right? He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because God's power and strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Now, I did not do what some people do in quoting the Bible when I was sitting at the bench press by myself on Wednesday. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've all heard that verse before, right? I think Steph Curry, my favorite basketball player, go Warriors, has that on his shoes. It's not the strength of Christ that makes him able to make those three-pointers. I'm just letting you know. It's because he shot about 20 million of those shots in practice so that when he's in a game, he doesn't miss. So what does that verse mean? Let's look at it. Philippians chapter 4. Apostle Paul is saying, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation you're in, take this verse to heart. Whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, which is not very fun, and I know how to abound. That's the good times. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The context of this is talking about how do we learn when life is great and, man, when life feels like it's at its lowest, can I be content? Because it's the strength of Christ that allows me to get through the good and the bad, and I submit my weaknesses to him. Because God is all-knowing, give him your heart. Because God is everywhere, give him your fear. Because God is all-powerful, give him your weakness. Because God is omni, all those we talked about, submit your life to him. Submit your life to him. I want to share this last verse with you. And this is the gospel. This is what God has called every single one of us to do. So I'm going to read this slow, and I want you to take these words to your heart. This is why we worship. This is why we gather as a church. This is why we tell everyone. For this very reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that's your heart, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All we need to have is faith, and God will change that heart of yours, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that's everyone who believes in Jesus, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's great love. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, to him, to God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. He can do more, way more than we can ask or think. Remember that passage I said earlier where it says, you know, don't use a lot of words when you pray because God already knows what you need? And then you pair that with this, because God's able to do so much more than you can ask or even imagine, according to the power at work. Where is it at work? Within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As God's people, we should live lives that are in submission. And I know that's a bad word. In MMA, if you submit, you lose. But in Christianity, when you submit, you win. We should submit our hearts. We submit our fear. We submit our weaknesses. We submit our lives to him, because God is everywhere. He's all-knowing, and he's all-powerful.